Resident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 21st on the West Coast, now May the 22nd on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. It's nice to have you with us, and we want to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and on BlogTalkRadio.com on the Internet. Lots to discuss this evening. As usual, my Friday night guest is our resident science advisor and my co-host on Friday nights, especially when I get knocked off the air. Tonight we're going to talk about this catastrophe that's occurring in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's a catastrophe not because of the money that the oil cartel is possibly losing, but the tremendous damage that's being done to planet Earth, the wildlife that lives in those waters, many of which provide food for people that eat seafood, as well as the animals living in the sea that eat seafood or that eat the plankton and the other nutritious goodies that grow naturally. And all of the ecosystem of the Gulf of Mexico is being destroyed. What we're being told is not the truth. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and we're going to emphasize this tonight. Scientists now are saying that from having spent some time observing the available video, and I have to say there's not much, that it appears that there's likely 70,000 barrels of oil minimum being released every day. That goes into the millions of gallons of oil. We're talking about crude oil here. And the resultant benzene that moves through the water and comes up actually to the surface and moves into the air. This is what the threat to people on the mainland is all about, not to mention the massive and catastrophic destruction of life. So with that in mind, we're going to start the show off tonight by bringing our regular guest on, and we have a surprise guest who has a way to remediate this problem, at least if we can get the powers that be to pay attention to what we have to say. Tonight's guest is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, and as I already mentioned, my honorary science advisor here on Evident Footprints, and my very good friend, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Don, thank you. Shame we have to dwell on these really upsetting topics, but I guess the main objective is always to deliver the truth, regardless of how it hurts.
Yes, yes. And tonight, at least for the first quarter of the show, Jim, I brought Dr. Mike Castle on board with us to discuss this specific issue. And I'm going to allow him to toot his own horn about a product that he developed and the significance of what this product will do. And I was sort of alluding to that, but first I should mention that he just did a two-hour show with Dr. A. Truat on the Micro Effect Broadcasting Network on Dr. Rott's The Story Behind the Story. And I've had him on Evident Footprints before, and he's actually getting an ear. People are bending their ear to hear this message. So I welcome again to Evident Footprints Dr. Mike Castle. Dr. Castle, are you with us?
I'm with you, Don. Thank you very much, sir, for having me on your show. I'm very honored, and Good evening to you also, Jim, or good morning. It's morning, but it's still early. I've been doing this all day. I'll probably do it again as time goes by on many, many shows, but I'll just keep telling you the same thing. I don't have to talk a lot. There's some videotapes out there that shows the, let's just say the proof is in the video. Picture's worth more than 1,000 words in this case. And then there's been some other people that, in fact, have looked at it. Dr. Ott, he's looked at it, and it works good, and he's not even using crude oil yet. But when he does, he'll understand that this works exactly what I said it will do. And this is not about me, but I did develop this in 1996 in a venture of putting a small company together and trying to get this particular type of material out into fire extinguishers and put them in your boat and in your car or wherever. And when you have a problem, in fact, just it's argon gas pressurized, and you pull the pin, and in fact, instead of putting out a fire, you're putting this on top of fuel, and it solidifies it within seconds, and you reduce the atmospheric flash point considerably. You increase the atmospheric flash point in and about the proximity of the fuel, because and that will do the same thing with this benzene-laden, very, very flammable liquid that's floating around in the water. And hopefully we can, in fact, encapsulate that into this polymer so that that VOC and the benzenes don't get out of it and travel into the water column or go into the air, and as somebody said, well, that catches on fire. But it reduces the fire risk, the fire hazard, just by increasing the amount of material that's available at the surface of the water or up in the air. And by the way, Don, all this rain that we've been having, this is all coming from that same VOC that's there in the Gulf of Mexico. Nashville was the first real victim of this, because the very first week of the oil spill, that's when they got flooded.
Mm-hmm.
It forms a nucleating agent that just changes the electron substrate. The nucleating agent, in fact, is able to, in fact, form large droplets of water. And, of course, well, it doesn't that clean it out the sky? Yeah, but it takes it in the form of very large water droplets with high, very high surface tensions, and it's a deluge. It's just an absolute deluge. That's the stuff that's still coming this way in the Gulf Stream, and you notice that when the air coming across from the southeast over Texas and the Gulf of Mexico and in, out through Texas, then it goes out into the prairies, that will come back in and collide again with the warmer Gulf jet stream, and in fact, it's going to do just exactly what we see, going to condense again, and of course, with or without the help of chemtrails, it's going to rip open, and just, it's going to be the same types of floods and deluge type rains that we've seen now ever since this has happened.
Yeah.
So that will stop. That will, in fact, go down considerably if we can just encapsulate the VOC. I'll just make that point clear.
Now, the dispersants that they're using, I will say this unequivocally, and also I've got agreement from another party on this, that the dispersants are designed more to hide the extent of the damage that this is causing right now, mm-hmm. because it causes what's on the surface as much as possible to go down. Certainly what is being sprayed on top of this blowout, they keep calling it a spill. It's not a spill. It's basically causing that oil below the surface to go down to the bottom of the ocean, and it's going to kill all the life there. There's no doubt about that. Now, there may be something happening within the next few days, and this may get cleaned up. I'm just going to put that word out there, because I will tell you that the powers that be are going to try to take credit for it. Speaking a little bit cryptically to the listeners, but if that should happen, some people may see it happening, The concern is to help with it, okay? And I just know how these people are. they're going to try to take credit for it, okay? So we can set our intention. In fact, that's what the majority of tonight's show is going to be about, how we can collectively set our intention and undo this and be done. I didn't mean to sound like I'm cutting you off or changing the subject. I'm just letting you know. Now, your product, AmeriHaz, has been featured on the Ohio News Now network this past Monday. And you talked about this, by the way. I should mention Drew Rain's radio show, because you were on there an hour and a half. So today you're on your way to doing 4 hours worth of radio on this very topic. And you even brought up the concern that there are people out there that have money to get this AmeriHaz product into full production, so that this can be applied and used to stop the damage that's happening to the coast, the coastline, we'll say. All along Florida, and with the changing of currents, this is going out into the Atlantic Ocean. Your product could put a halt to all of this.
Yes, and that's what I'm focusing on. I have been ever since this has occurred. It's those marshlands and estuaries and the mouths of these streams and things that comes into the Gulf of Mexico, which is the absolute nursery, the hatcheries and nurseries of all the fish, all the fauna, all the birds. It's, in fact, everything starts in those Louisiana and Mississippi and the Delta areas. It's where it all starts. All that is in the Gulf of Mexico. A lot comes from Florida, but it's mostly in the Gulf region.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that's so pristine and sensitive to what's going on. It's extremely pristine to the intrusion of benzene in surface waters. That's why I want to get the AmeriHaz on those waters. Fast forward, Drew Malone Rains, excuse me. I've been saying this a long time today. Drew, in fact, I'm just hoping and praying that somebody puts a couple $1 million on the table and we can get product made and get it in the hands of U.S. Marines. I've made an appeal to the Coast Guardman after that Commandant, in fact, resigned or gets fired, and Mr. Salerno steps up and assist us. There's a lot of Coast Guardmen in there that, in fact, I know that would be wanting to help somebody do something other than what's going on right now, and that's to watch the U.S. Air Force spray this stuff along with all the contractors. It's just a devastating cap that they're putting on this with the surfactant base and super surfactant base materials that they're calling dispersants.
Mm-hmm.
What a crime. What a horrible crime it is to put this in the environment.
That is, and then in and of itself is toxic also, and I brought that up on last night's show.
It's 10 times more toxic than the benzene in the oil.
Yes. Yes.
I wish people would just get that in their mind.
Now just for frame of reference, too, the amount of oil coming out of that broken pipeline is basically 20 times what they're reporting it is. It's 20 times worse than what they're saying. So there's a tremendous amount of lying and deceit going on, and this investigation that Congress has initiated is a farce.
Yes.
The truth is not coming out. I've seen the demonstration. I mean, I understood this quite well because I've had some experience with polymers before, and I know that once you apply a liquid to a specific type of polymer, that polymer does what it was designed to do. It gels. You can pick it up and hold it in your hand, and it's quite remarkable to see a teaspoon of polymer in a glass of water, drink up all the water, and then just pull the whole glass of water out and hold it in your hand. And it does. Your product does the same thing with the oil.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that there was no doubt about that. But seeing it on television, you gave a demonstration for the news crew there in Ohio, and I'm sure the reporter was quite amazed at seeing what it did, too.
Well, that was just this past Monday, and I done the crude oil, and I took my hand, and knowing that I should have put a glove on it because of the crude, in fact, still having a lot of active benzene. But I've said before, this locks up and binds the benzenes very well, and the polynuclear aromatics and the aromatic hydrocarbons. Locks it up real well. So I picked it up, and in fact, I handed it to the cameraman, but he wouldn't take it. He goes, no, that's okay. And I mean, he said, I believe you. It's, it's really solid. Now you could probably throw it across the room like a Frisbee. But then I'd done the same thing with gasoline and offered that to him, and no, they didn't want to take that. But he was saying, man, does that stuff ever smell bad? And I said, well, the Ameri has no odor whatsoever. He said, no, he said, that crude oil. And I said, how'd you like to smell that 24/7?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. And I said, that's what those people down there in the bayou, Louisiana, all along the coast, that's what they're smelling every day. And they're already reporting getting sick. But it's not just that problem. It's this capper, this devastation of mass destruction, a weapon of mass destruction called a dispersant, that in fact causes the same type of systemic and glandular dysfunction, starting with kidney failure. All those chemicals in have target organ labeling requirements, and that means it goes after your organs. Okay, the first thing to malfunction is the kidneys, blood in the urine. They're all primary endocrine impactors. And it just goes, it gets worse from there, so I don't need to talk about anything.
Well, our time is short here, Dr. Castle, and I want to thank you for your report. While I was listening to you and Drew this afternoon talking about finding someone, maybe a celebrity that has the money, mm-hmm. to put forth to get this into a higher rate of production, we're talking about the Ameri has. It dawned on me, if we got half of the people in this country to each contribute a dollar, certainly you would have enough to do the entire cleanup. That's a lot simpler thing to do, I think.
Well, let's do it.
To reach out to people, just, you know, and then you're not dependent upon one person that's going to try to run the show for you.
Oh, no, it just kills me to have to almost like grovel for money to do this. I mean, it just really kills me, because if we can do something like that, Don, please tell me what your plan of coordination is, because I will do anything. And like I said, the Mexican Americans that are here, I don't care if they're illegal or not. This is your golf also. We need your help. And if we could just hear from them, I've made the same appeal on True Show. I made the same thing on the Marine Disquisition. Made the same appeal to people. Just pay attention. We need your help. And in this case, if they could put a dollar in there, and we could get that collected at some point where we could go get the materials that we need to get that warehouse starting in Shreveport, Louisiana, because that's where Drew is at. Mm. Perfect. We got Marines. We got people to make this stuff, and we're going to have people that's going to deploy it. He calls them a certain sect down there, and they are. They're Cajun. They're Bayou people, but they're very, very proud. And they stand to lose the most first. This is their entire livelihood, let alone the demise of all of the fish, the shrimp, everything will be gone.
Well, there are a lot of people rooting for you, and I think out of that group of people, and you know who I'm talking about, there is at least one person who's competent enough to help get this off the ground. But certainly, there were people who would contribute more than a dollar, but if we just asked every American to contribute $1 toward this,
that would work.
Certainly, that would work. Okay,
that would work.
And then, you know, there are those that will possibly see it in their heart to contribute more, because this is about saving the planet here, and forget about the criminals in government now. Jim Murray's been behaving behind the scenes, and I want to give him a chance to comment on what we've been talking about before I let you go, Dr. Castle.
Certainly.
I do have a question for Dr. Castle. I wasn't aware, actually, Don, until you told me earlier today that they have been spraying, you know, hundreds and hundreds of, probably thousands of pounds of this dispersant, so-called, you know, to hide the exact amount of the oil. And this, of course, is forcing it below the surface to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm curious about is if Dr. Castle's product can also affect this dispersant, which is apparently worse than the oil, the benzene in the oil.
Yes, it will. It contains mostly glycol ether, Jim, but it will have a slight encapsulating effect on the very surfactants that they're using in there. We don't need the surfactants, but it in fact can immobilize a lot of that as well. Because they're surface active agents, and in fact they're the kinds of the surfactants that cause the litany of problems with endocrine disruptors in the glandular sense, and that will immobilize those a lot. But my clamor in the last shows that I've done is, and I'll repeat it again, stop spraying the damn dispersants. And I just can't say it enough. And I find a whole lot of people out there, that even in Congress, that are saying the same thing. Oh, but the EPA can change this at any time to a different dispersant. No, I don't want you to change it. I want the head of the EPA, Jackson, I want you to resign. You've already crossed the line in our trust with everybody. The same with the commandant of the Coast Guard. So they've crossed the line. They just need to stop this. And if enough people just can continue saying the same thing, we can repair some of the damage. But getting all that oil that's going to the bottom because they're using this surfactant, and Jim, you'll understand this also, when they emulsify that into these really small droplets that they say real quickly, it'll be biodegraded into by organisms that are in it. What are you talking about? Benzene is toxic to those organisms. This thing's not going to eat or degrade anything. It just makes the benzene profusion even that much more serious. It just makes the magnitude that much more serious because now you've got these small droplets of oil containing benzene, in fact, diffusing that into the water column as it goes about its merry way, floating underwater, and it's just dispensing the benzene everywhere you can think of.
Benzene, if I'm not mistaken, is a carcinogenic agent.
Oh,
and there are several people who have literally identified benzene as a precursor to cancer, especially a cancer of the liver.
A cancer of the blood, leukemia. Chronic benzene exposure leads to leukemia. Blood leukemia.
Yes.
And it's not a suspect carcinogen, it is a known carcinogen. That is according to EPA. It's a known human carcinogen, period.
And
there's
so
no
here's
extension
the EPA drink. Who supposedly knows all this, and they're endorsing the use of this other stuff.
Exactly. They've crossed the line. I want Jackson to step down immediately or get fired by somebody, but let's just see if anybody in the U.S. Congress has got the gonads to do that. I don't believe there is. So we're in bad shape, but, you know, we're not going to ask to do this, Jim. You understand that. Because we've already found that the U.S. Coast Guard is corrupt, and they're not allowing materials that have free particulate, when that's the only way this product that we have works. If it's a free particulate, in fact, when it touches crude oil, what it does, it sinks right down through the crude all the way to the interface at the bottom of that slick, to the interface of the water, and it in fact solidifies from the bottom up, and it's amazing how it does that. I don't care how thick it is, we can solidify the whole thing, and that will not fall to the bottom anymore. It's inherently, intrinsically buoyant by the choice of the polymers because it's collapsing on itself, and it expands immediately about 2 to 3% in its volume, and because of the hydrocarbon, that expansion. It sucks all this oil up and, in fact, bonds together. It coalesces on itself because of the solubility parameter of the fluid and the polymer, and that's what I've done. I've just matched those two together. So it's nothing real genius. It's just that it's something I found worked extremely well
mm-hmm.
in doing just this.
Well, Dr. Castle, I've got to let you go just because of our time restrictions here. But
thank you, Don. I appreciate being on. And thank you, Jim.
We're going to cover this some more. And if it's of any consolation, I've already got offers from people who want to send in money. So the best thing for us to do is to set this up somewhere in your neighborhood, in your neck of the woods, so that this can begin, this process can begin. And I know that once it starts, people will catch on. And we'll come up with some ways to publicize this, and I'll be announcing it on the show.
Very good.
So just hold on to your money for now, folks, until we give you some instructions in that regard.
Appreciate that, Don.
See, now that's more than we got from the movie stars, you see, already. As always, the American people can come together for a cause, especially when those responsible do nothing but drag their feet and give us excuses. Thank you so much for being on the show.
And this is not a movie.
No, it isn't. It isn't. Okay. Dr. Mike Castle, thank you very much. Jim, you wanted to comment there, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I know that, we've got a lot of ground to carry on tonight's show.
Okay. I was gonna mention something that I was aware of, but it's okay because I'm sure that this will come up again, and maybe we can talk further with Dr. Castle on this subject in a more exclusive arrangement than we had tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll hold, no problem.
Okay. Now, when we closed last week's show, Jim, I have to say it was a rare moment on Evident Footprints, the amount of spiritual truth that was flowing through you during that show. I must say that your closing remarks were heard throughout the universe, literally. And I want to thank you for opening your heart like you did. We've had numerous reports from folks around the country who have been listening to the show and trying some of the things that we suggested, to teach them how to interact with nature by just demonstrating to themselves that they can have an impact on things like the weather. I've had four opportunities now within the last 2 weeks to countermand what was going to be very destructive weather coming through. And you had your own experience, didn't you, within the past 24 hours?
I did, but in all honesty and fairness, I have no way of proving whether I was an effective agent in that. I just noticed that what happened was pretty darn unusual. Let's leave it at that.
Well, it is unusual, and I think some part of you knows that you did impact it. I certainly sense that you did. And I'm getting accounts from other folks that are doing the same things. Now, we could apply our intention and our spirituality to this event in the Gulf, and we could impact it. We can do that in several ways, by raising the funds to produce this product in sufficient quantities to deal with the issue. That's one way we can do it. Setting our intention on it together. Visualizing the water being cleaned up is another way to cause all kinds of things to happen. And we don't even have to understand what it is exactly that is happening. The universe works in very mysterious ways. When we focus our intention on a particular issue, we had an election here a few days ago, and some bad blood is being extracted or leached out of the Congress and the Senate, which is very good news. But you have a still corrupt system that these new people, should they get into office, at least we know from the primaries that some of the incumbents are not going to be there as time goes around. And it's about time that these changes occur. I think 30 years is quite a long time to be dictating the policies of the government to people as an elected official. And so what I'm getting at here is we're seeing that many of the listeners have been listening to what we talked about. We've talked about this on other shows too, and we're getting positive, favorable responses. Anything from chemtrails to the weather to noticing that people are feel stronger and better equipped to cope with personal problems, and that's very heartening. I know that you wanted to sort of segue into another area. But still along the same theme that we've been sort of communicating over the past few shows. So,
well, it isn't really another area. It's just a different facet of the same thing. You know, people are really confused, and this is not difficult to understand considering the absolute intensity of the brainwashing and propaganda programs that have been initiated against the public since World War II. I mean, we're into the third, maybe even the fourth generation in some cases of people exposed to these ideas. And of course, we all know that the so-called educational system in this country is an absolute joke when it comes to educating, except for the fact that it's being used as a propaganda tool. And the reason that I wanted to touch on this one thing, Don, is because after I introduced this, then the closing remarks are more or less a follow-up of all the things we've been talking about, but directed in a little bit more detail. So with your permission, what I would like to do is just clarify two really important points.
Sure.
And then from there we can go on to the other things that you and I discussed.
Yes, permission is not necessary, though, Jim.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm just trying to find the words to get on with it.
Well, go ahead. How's that? Okay.
The thing that I want to clarify, Don, is the difference between a democracy and a republic. And I think it's the most crucial thing imaginable for people to get this through their heads, because the brainwashing has absolutely turned it around 180 degrees, and it's about time that this gets straightened out. Now, the thing that's interesting here, I searched all over the Internet for really good explanations of all this stuff because I was a little bit concerned that I don't have the expertise to verbalize it effectively myself. But what I found was really an amazing thing, and I'm very glad I did that search. Apparently, back in the old days, in the 1920s, our own army and other branches of the military had training manuals which actually touched upon this very issue and very clearly and succinctly demonstrated the difference between a democracy and a republic. And what I want to do is read the actual points that were spearheaded in this particular presentation. It's only a page long, but it's really worth listening to. And as I said, this comes out of our own military training manuals, the manual number actually is here also. It's 2000-25, published by the War Department on November 30th, 1928. And here's what it says regarding democracy. A government of the masses, authority derived through mass meeting or any other form of direct expression. It results in mobocracy. Attitude towards property is communistic, neglecting property rights. Attitude towards the law is the will of the majority shall regulate, whether it be based upon deliberation or governed by passion, prejudice, impulse, and without restraint or regard to the consequences. Results in the demagogism, licensing policies, agitation, discontent, and anarchy. And then right under that, it's got the definition for a republic. It says, authority is derived through the election of the people, by the people, of public officials best fitted to represent them. Attitude towards the law is the administration of justice in accord with fixed principles and established evidence, with a strict regard to consequences. A greater number of citizens and extent of territory may be brought within its compass. Avoids the dangerous extreme of either tyranny or mobocracy. Results in statesmanship, liberty, reason, justice, contentment, and progress. It is the standard form of government throughout the world. Now, it's interesting they should end with that comment, considering the fact that, if you notice, everywhere the United States government puts its foot, they are attempting to initiate democracy and not a republic. But anyway, let me continue on with this. The manuals containing these definitions were ordered destroyed without explanation about the same time that President Franklin D. Roosevelt made private ownership of our own lawful money, meaning minted gold coins, illegal. And then it says here, many of FDR's policies were suggested by his right-hand man, Harry Hopkins, who said the following, tax and tax, spend and spend, elect and elect, because the people are too damn stupid to know the difference. Now, these are the actual SOBs that, you know, we put our faith and trust in, who are supposedly running the government on our behalf. And that's a quote. That's a direct quote. Now, there's a follow-up statement to this, which was written by the people who had published this article, and I'm going to read that, too, because it's really important. Democracies always self-destruct when the non-productive majority realizes that it can vote itself handouts from the productive minority by electing the candidate promising the most benefits from the public treasury. To maintain their power, these candidates must adopt an ever-increasing tax and spend policy to satisfy the ever-increasing desires of the majority. As taxes increase, incentive to produce decreases, causing many of the once productive to drop out and join the non-productive. Finally, when there are no longer enough producers to fund the legitimate functions of government and the socialistic programs, the democracy will collapse, always to be followed by a dictatorship. And we are ripe for that situation right now. Even though nearly every politician, teacher, journalist, and citizen believes that our founders created a democracy, it is absolutely not true. The word democracy is not even mentioned once in the Constitution. And if you remember the words of Benjamin Franklin, he said, "We have given you a republic if you can keep it." So those are the things that I wanted to alert you to, and the reason for my doing that is because we have to return to that other form of government if we expect the United States to survive. You know, there are people working very, very hard right now to produce a fascist police state in this country, and there's no doubt about that being their intention. I don't even have to tell you who it is. If you're semi-conscious, you know who I'm speaking about. And the thing is this, poking holes in clouds, dispersing chemtrails, or redirecting storms is actually child's play when you come to think of it. Storms don't have minds of their own. They just follow the laws of nature. But the scum in Washington have got minds, and they use these same principles against you and me. And they're very good at it, I might add. However, a few thousand selfish and corrupt individuals are no match for the common intent, the heart power, and the will of 300 million American souls. Use your powers to destroy the fascist storm rising out of Washington, D.C. Use your hearts and your minds to influence the upcoming elections, the patriots in the military, and the decent few remaining in this land who want to restore it to its former morality, prosperity, and greatness. Do not be afraid to use these God-given gifts for good. That is why they exist. And that was the intent of my little message.
Well said. If I can comment on what you said, you mentioned a name that came up in my piecing together this Eisenhower research that I did. And I heard from some listeners on a few radio shows, oh, this is old news. Tell us what's happening now. We want to know what's happening now. Well, you have to understand how this came about to recognize that what we're witnessing today is the very fruit of the seed that was planted many years ago. Now, you referred to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We could actually go back to Teddy Roosevelt. Okay, this Teddy Roosevelt played a big part in this as well, in setting up the infrastructure to infiltrate this country with spies and foreign agents who were going to masquerade as Americans down the road. And they had developed the system. This actually even began in around 1860. This began when Prince Albert Edward stayed at the White House with James Buchanan for 3 days, setting up the phony lineage of the McCain clan, who I identified as the McCanns from Scotland, and the illegitimate offspring of the individual who became Edward the VII. Now, jumping forward and alluding to your comment about FDR, you mentioned Harry Hopkins. Harry Hopkins' initials were on all the communications that were given to the Russians through the Lend-Lease program that was being run out of the Newark Airport, hangar number 8, and Great Falls, Montana, Gore Field, which later became Malmstrom Air Force Base. And thanks to a very patriotic person in the Army Air Force who was running this Lend-Lease program, he kept a diary. Major General George Racy Jordan. And I came upon his diaries and I saw that the United Nations was created on January 1st of 1942. The history is there. And he put this document at the front of a book he wrote about this. And the United States was the first name on this list. Second country was Great Britain. So even though we were told that we joined the United Nations in October of 1945, that was a lie. We were told a lie from the beginning. We completely financed the Soviet Union. And we were told all throughout the Cold War that they were our enemies. Well, that's the dialectical argument, you see. Those were the infiltrators, and they hid under the cloak of the Democratic Party. Even Eisenhower himself was of that same cloth, although he ran on the Republican ticket. They infiltrated the Republican Party and dealt with it secretly with the Democrats behind the scenes. That's all in my research, Jim. So Harry Hopkins was the individual that procured the nuclear secrets and the blueprints for building nuclear facilities and got Roosevelt to sign those over to the Russians. That was done before World War II was finished, before it had run its course. This name Harry Hopkins came up many, many times in Jordan's diaries, we'll say. So we have a pattern there that was established well before the announcements, the official announcements about the UN. This plan was in force long before they told us. They lied to us about it. That's the only way they could do it, was lie. And my Eisenhower research also shows the documentation that many in Congress were in communication behind the scenes with Eisenhower through the ring that they ran out of Denison, Texas. They ran it out of other places, too. Salt Lake City and the Mormon Church was another place. They used the Presbyterian Church as an umbrella, as cover. They used the Methodist Church and the Baptist Church. So they infiltrated the religious organizations of this country and created aliases and did exactly what you described, Jim. Their goal was to plunder this country, just like they do when they go to Iraq or Afghanistan. They say they're spreading democracy. They're spreading communism is what they're spreading. So I concur with you 100%, 1,000%. And you are right. We can set our intention. We have to understand why we're setting it. And this is what I've been able to connect many, many dots, at least from 1942 to 72. And I connected other dots prior to that on the other genealogies that I did of the Bush clan, the McCains, and the short-legged Mac Daddy today. Same thing. It all ties into the international intelligence agencies, the Illuminati, the central banks, pharmaceutical companies, and oil companies. Every case. Is it a coincidence that we have this oil disaster going on right now in the Gulf? It's just another tentacle of the octopus is all it is. So thanks for listening to my rant. I'm sure you want to move on to something else now.
No, actually, I said my major piece. I think that the reason that I wanted to get that out as quickly and succinctly as I did was because I really don't want people to believe that, you know, this ability that we all have is limited to just dealing with storms and things that don't have a mind as we understand the concept. The only difference is that when you bring these forces to bear against corrupt and negative or even evil individuals, you have to realize that they are endowed with a mind as well, and they have chosen to use it for matters that they feel are in their best interest, and naturally that puts them 180 degrees out of sync with us. So the point is that it takes a lot more effort, and you can't give up just because you don't see results immediately. But there's no way that an army of 300 million people, and I realize we'll never get that many to cooperate, but it doesn't matter. An army of even 40 million people or 100 million people using these principles and directing their intentions for improvement and change toward the maggot nest in Washington is bound to have a positive effect. The temptation would be to use this power to do destructive things against these individuals, as much as we may dislike them. But we have to remember that these forces are double-edged swords. And when you use them in that way, they always will engender an effect that causes harm to the person that's using it that way. So keep your ideals high and keep your morals as a guide when you do this. You want to concentrate on positive change, want to concentrate on getting rid of the scum that's down there and has been entrenched for so long, and things which make sense from a moral and godly point of view. And that way you know that you can't go wrong when you use these forces, and you can't incur any negative repercussions upon yourself either. Wouldn't you agree with that, Don?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, you can pray for things to end that have been actually getting quite a bit worse. Think of all the child abductions. See an end to that. Just see an end to that. Declare that it's ending, or it has ended. I made the statement many times over the past couple of months that this system of theirs has collapsed. We're witnessing the collapse of it. It's happening in stages. And they're trying to revive it. They're trying to put Band-Aids on it. But it's collapsed. It's hemorrhaged. And the bandage doesn't really do any good other than to serve as a prop for people to see. And as long as people are not operating in their heart and they're just operating through the mind and listening to what they're saying, which really has no consequence on the truth. Everything they do is to obfuscate the truth, to hide the truth, to disguise it. And the intention for doing that is deceit. It's to trick you into staying in their box, in their prison, in their cage, in their maze, whatever you want to call it. But it's an illusion. It's all an illusion. And the things that we're talking about are quite real when you can tap into it. Now, yeah, we could talk about clouds. We could talk about chemtrails. We could talk about healing. We have the ability to heal one another through our prayer and through our thoughts. And we have the ability to undo things like what's happening in the Gulf. And, you know, because we rely so much on science and technology, and Jim, you're a scientist. I'm not putting down science, but you understand exactly what I mean here.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I was very glad to hear your remark earlier. The fact that you made it is a good thing, because it didn't even have to come out of me. The fact is absolutely true that concentrating and directing intent toward the mess in the Gulf of Mexico, it will cause a positive effect, even if you don't understand the mechanism. And that's the point. People who have natural curing abilities, they don't understand the disease like a heart condition or deterioration of the arteries or cancer, but it doesn't matter. The intent takes care of the details. The body knows what to do when it receives this energy. And it's the same with the Gulf of Mexico. We have to remember, folks, it is a living, pristine organism. As the other guest, Dr. Castle, said earlier tonight, and it's in trouble now, and we need to be there for it. You know, we shouldn't downplay the incredible negativity of this event. You know, you stop and think about how big the Gulf of Mexico is. This stupid well is supposed to be one of the largest reserve areas of oil left in this hemisphere, and at the rate it's bleeding out, don't be surprised if it poisons the entire Gulf of Mexico and goes right down the Mexican Peninsula into Central America, and then on the other side, come right around the Florida Keys and start up the coast, because it's being pulled and directed by the Gulf Stream, and that's exactly how that thing flows.
Yeah. And they've been telling us since 1973, Jim, that we're out of oil. Yet where's all this oil coming from? Where is it coming from if we're out of oil? How can it be spewing such great amounts under so much pressure, more than they've ever seen before? Likely it's even higher than the 70 to 75,000pounds per square foot. That's what I said a couple of weeks ago, and that's being confirmed now. The scientists are coming on board. Those that have seen what little video is there, one can assume that if it took down a surface platform that there's a lot of force there. I don't know all the details about what occurred. No one does, but I can rely on my intuition. And I applied these same principles to my research. This is why I'm able to find things that are not right out in front of your nose.
And I've done the same with my work. So I know it works.
Yes, I just want to emphasize that you know, I visualized having a radio show, and I have a radio show. I visualized having a website. I've got that. So do a lot of other people. Had they not visualized it, they wouldn't have it. You see, that's part of intention. And we don't give ourselves enough credit, and we don't give the universe enough credit for the miraculous ways in which it works. We're not suggesting anyone interfere with the universe. We're saying tune into it and operate according to its laws. And as to the best of our ability on this show, we will share what we know about those laws, won't we, Jim?
Always.
And when we do that with integrity, we get the desired results. And if all these experts that are running the countries of the world were all that, and I'm using that sort of as street language there, if they were all that, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in, would we? They have all the financial experts. They have all the experts in the law. They have all the experts in medicine and in agriculture and even in oil, and look at the mess they're making of things. Can you imagine, you in the listening audience, can you imagine that all this could be stopped? If you can imagine that, then it will happen. All you have to
do is... You don't have to know how.
Yes. Just imagine it. Visualize it in your mind. Feel it in your heart. Ask God to instruct you what you can do to help. Certainly.
That's right. And if they remember the talk of 3 weeks ago, Don, regarding the work of Clave Baxter and how the plants responded to the death of brine shrimp and other plants and small animals, you will realize that right now, there is an immense agony going on in that whole region. You know, they've already got dolphins washing up on shore dead. They've got turtles that are in trouble. Millions of seabirds are going to be affected by this. Plankton, you know, other forms of small marine life. All the shellfish, all the food, the lobsters, the shrimp, and the various... what do they call them, bivalve type of animals like oysters and clams, they're all going to be affected. And
yeah, the crustaceans, we'll say.
Yeah, crustaceans in general. The whole ecosystem involving the one of the last sanctuaries in that area is the bayous and the Everglade regions of Florida. And, you know, they're all connected to the sea and to that gulf. And it's going to be a real tragedy if we don't do something about it. I'm very uplifted over the fact that no sooner did Mike and you mention the idea of making a dollar contribution per person than already people are willing to do something. That shows you where the real heart of America lies. And we don't want to lose track of that because... You know, that's those kind of people that are already responding and already feel, and that's a key word, they feel the need to do something. Those are the people that have the ability to save the whole darn country. Not just about sending in a dollar, it's about what you're feeling about what's happening. And the tragedy in the Gulf is related to the tragedy in Washington, and let's not lose sight of that either. So it's up to us to fix the whole mess because it isn't going to fix itself.
Yes. And you know, Jim, this is not changing the subject. This is along the same lines. I heard a radio broadcast on mainstream radio, a little news blurb, where they were saying that the President of the United States feels that in 20 years' time, emissions from automobiles can be reduced by 50%. And I laughed, and I said to myself, Jim Murray has been doing research and development and testing with a company in Oklahoma City that's developed some hydrogen devices for cars and trucks that reduce that to 98%, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
That's right. So the products are already on the market. You see, folks, this is what we're saying. We presented Dr. Castle's solution. There is, and these have been on the market for at least a year, have they not?
I don't know the exact amount of time, but it's been a while, and they have been pushing for a refined product for general release now for at least 5-6 years. And, you know, naturally, the problem is they meet with the resistance from the automobile companies, from the oil companies, from the legal department in every state. You know, it's the same old story of the bullies ganging up to prevent change.
Well, there's another aspect of our consciousness that we can direct towards those types of things. You see, people, if you think about a problem that exists and you visualize that problem not being there, imagine what it would be without the problem there. You don't have to even consider how you would go about it. What happens is those opportunities manifest themselves in tremendous ways. And this is really, Jim, this is what I love about this show, is that I have the freedom to talk about these things.
Well, thank God we've still got that freedom. And
I will always have that freedom.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yes, I know. I know exactly what you mean. I'm just adding that to my statement.
Yeah, I mean, I'll always have that freedom, too, because the only way they'll ever shut me up is to kill me.
Well, and I think they're killing themselves, actually. See? I mean, they're creating their own karma. As Christopher Holmes said on the show last night, there's a lot of karma that these people are going to pay for all the misery that they have put people through on this planet. And not just the people, but nature and the earth.
That's right.
And the earth. There's a consciousness, folks, to everything that exists. A certain level of consciousness. And that which God created that operates through the laws of nature exclusively and gives us life doesn't need our interference to operate. There's nothing that nature requires from man except non-interference. And this whole system that we're living under that oppresses us oppresses nature the same way. Just visualize it ending. Visualizing this place that we call planet Earth as a paradise. And as we manifest that, then other frontiers will open to us. And those that doubt that there's intelligent life coming from other parts of the universe to watch what's occurring here on Earth will also appear. And you may rub your eyes a little bit and you may tap yourself on the forehead a couple of times to ask yourself, are you hallucinating or is this really happening? But I can tell you, as I have many times with great conviction, and as tonight's guest has, both of them actually have at one time or another, there is life beyond here, and it's much more beautiful than what we're experiencing. And it's because of our own shortcomings and our lack of recognizing that we are magnificent beings created by the same creator of the whole of everything that exists. There's no difference between us in that respect. The only problem we have is our failure to recognize it and to put it to use. So we're encouraging you to do that tonight. Jim, we're about out of time. Would you like to make a closing comment?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm a little bit numb in that regard. But the thing that I can't get off my mind, really, is the amount of destruction that's going on down in the Gulf. And I really think that that has to take priority, even over the mess in Washington. Because even though they're related, Washington is destroying itself. And while it certainly deserves as much help as it can get in that direction, the Gulf is in trouble, and that's part of our planet. It's part of us as the human family, as an expression of divinity on Earth. And I think that that's where we need to put all of our energies and all of our resources. So God bless the people that have already volunteered to send funds. I'm sure that you'll get something set up in that regard, Don. And in the meantime, while that's being done, we should all think about and project the intention and the energy in the direction of the Gulf to return it to its previous condition, to visualize the health of the animal life and the elimination of this incredible blight brought on by the greed for oil.
Yes. Well, I thank you for your wisdom and your kind words and your participation in tonight's show. Also, I want to thank Dr. Mike Castle for giving us an update on a solution. And it in a large sense, it is the solution to ending this problem. We should be demanding that something be done about this disaster that has all the earmarks of sabotage. And
yeah, we shouldn't lose track of that. That's
yes.
The key point.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody that has half a brain can see that these things don't happen by chance. And there are no coincidences. It's all done by design. Well, that wraps it up, folks. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's regular guest, but always a special guest, scientist inventor Jim Murray. Also, we'd like to thank again Dr. Mike Castle for coming on the show. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and blogtalkradio.com on the internet for broadcasting this show. Want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound at BBS Radio. Also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a great weekend. Put your spiritual muscles to work over the weekend, and let's turn this around. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.